We begin today with chapter 4, verse 5, which says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The Greek word which Paul used, that is translated moderation here in our King James Version, is translated elsewhere in our Bible as gentleness. And reliable translations of Scripture so translated in our verse. It is spoken of as a trait of Christ, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 1. It characterizes the wisdom of God, which is from above, gentle, James 3, 17. And it is a quality which an overseer should have, gentle, uncontentious, 1 Timothy 3, 3. Gentleness does not insist on one's own rights, but manifests a willingness to give way to the wishes and desires of others. One has translated this Greek word as sweet reasonableness, Matthew Arnold. This gentleness, which the apostle requested the Philippians to be known by unto all men, is the opposite of a hard, legal spirit, which Christians sometimes display, and are apt to call it faithfulness to the Lord. We can be faithful to the Lord without being hard. Paul instructed Timothy that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose. 2 Timothy 2:24-25. This gentleness is to be known unto all men. By observation and experience, they should know that we act towards themselves in this spirit of gentleness and yieldedness. This does not mean that we should be lax in earnest conviction or assurance of correctness of doctrine, principles, or practices which one believes he has learned from the Word of God. It is rather that our manner and attitude should be one of gentleness and not of contention. The exhortation as to yieldedness is followed by the statement that the Lord is at hand or near. The consciousness of the Lord's presence near us, or of his coming for us being nigh at hand, will enable us not to trouble about getting our rights down here. We can yield our rights and leave all to the Lord and trust him who is soon coming. Now follows a very important, comprehensive, and practical exhortation in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We may connect this request with the previous instruction as to gentle yieldingness. In yielding our rights to others, we may become anxious about matters and concerned, or other problems and difficult circumstances may fill our hearts with cares. So the apostle exhorts, be careful for nothing, or do not be anxious about anything. We are to not let our hearts be filled with cares. The remedy for being burdened with cares is to bring everything to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. So the Apostle Peter wrote, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. We are not to worry or fret about things, but to present everything to the Lord in confiding, trustful prayer, believing that he cares for us. In our application for divine help, we must not forget thanksgiving for past and present mercies. We always have much to be thankful for and should always accompany our request to God with thanksgiving. It has been rightly observed that according to this verse, we should be careful or anxious about nothing, prayerful about everything, and thankful for anything. As we take our burdens of need to the Lord in believing prayer and leave them there, with him to deal with each one according to his wisdom and compassionate power, there will be a blessed result. Verse 7 assures us that the peace of God, which surpasses every understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts by Jesus Christ. In a new translation, we are not promised an immediate answer and solution to our problems or a prompt change of circumstances, though this may sometimes be granted. But we are assured that the peace of God, which transcends all comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds. The peace which surrounds God's throne shall fill our hearts and guard our minds from every troublesome, anxious thought. If we put our cares into God's heart, He will put His peace into our hearts. This peace is not the same as the peace with God we received when we trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, who died for our sins. It is the peace of God, His own peace, that gives tranquility of soul as one rests upon the will of God and trusts Him for daily cares. Of old, the prophet Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Isaiah 26, verse 3. Dear radio friend, we hope you are enjoying peace with God through faith in Christ as your personal Savior, and that you also are experiencing the peace of God about all your daily circumstances and cares as you bring everything to God in prayer with thanksgiving. The Lord Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. So we should be enjoying His peace in our hearts as we walk through a troubled world. Now in the next two verses that follow, that is 8 and 9, we have another aspect of peace. The apostle says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Here we have the things which we are to think on, things we are to do, and the promise of the God of peace being with us. Things we are to think on. What we let our minds think on and consider is very important. Proverbs 23:7 declares, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What we allow our minds and hearts to dwell on has a formative effect on our person. The Lord said, "Of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Luke 6:45. As we think in our heart, so we become and are in character. Thus has been rightly said, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." In verse 8, we have 8 things which Paul directs us to think on. They are all found fully illustrated in our Lord Jesus Christ in His life as the perfect man here on earth. So occupation with the person and life of the Lord will give us these helpful, edifying subjects to think on, which the apostle enumerates. The first item is, whatsoever is true. Jesus Christ is the truth, and He is the one that is true. John 14, verse 6, and Revelation 3, 7. The Word of God is truth. John 17, 17. Therein we have divine biographies of the truth as it is in Jesus. Let us think on what the Bible says to us. The whole world lies in the wicked one, Satan, who's a liar and the father of it. John 8:44, 1 John 5:19 says, "Therefore much about us is superficial, false, and is of the imaginations of man's evil heart inspired by Satan." Today more than ever, the world is turning from the truth, from realism to fantasy of wild, weird imaginations. Much that comprises the literature of the day and what is in the newspapers, over the radio and television is of this untruthful, vain, imaginary character, with its baneful influence upon the minds and hearts, especially of children and youth in their formative years. Thus there's the great need for Christians to think on whatsoever is true and to refuse occupation with what is false. The psalmist said, "I esteem all thy precepts," that is the word of God, "concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Psalm 119:28. Anything contrary to the revealed will of God in the Bible is a false way and not of the truth. The second subject is, whatsoever things are honest or noble or venerable. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ is the example of a noble and venerable life of moral excellence. Like the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, we should be occupied with the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, as Luke 24:18-19 says. The third item for our meditation is whatsoever things are just. In Acts 3:14 and 7:52, Jesus Christ is spoken of as the Holy One and the Just, and the Just One. The psalmist wrote, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." Psalm 89:14. If we think on Christ, the Just One, and on what is just or righteous, we will be led to practice justice and walk in the paths of righteousness. The fourth virtue we are to pursue is whatsoever things are pure. How necessary is this exhortation to think on things that are pure as we pass through an unclean world where moral filth abounds more and more. Impurity is shamelessly being publicly paraded in many forms today. We need to turn away our eyes and our thoughts, also our ears, from such immoral scenes and words, and occupy our hearts with God's word. With the psalmist we can say, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Psalm 119:140. Time fails us to enlarge on the remaining four important things we are to think upon. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. These words direct us to occupation with positive good, with things that are lovable or aimable, things of good report, and with things that are excellent and praiseworthy. We may have to deal with evil, but we're not to be occupied with it or dwell on it. Alas, how often Christians dwell upon the faults and failures of other children of God rather than delighting in whatever is of virtue or commendatory in others. In verse 9, the apostle refers to the things which the Philippians had learned, received, heard, and seen in him. They were the same eight things mentioned in verse 8. Paul had practiced them in his life, and we are to practice the same. Then we will experience the God of peace with us. Thus we have thinking on good things, then practicing them with the presence of the God of peace with us. This is the way to a happy, joyful, peaceful Christian life.